Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been looking at five current events that have happened recently that I believe are building blocks in bringing about a one world government, a one world religion, the one world government, of course, including a one world economy, and of course the deception of the of a major part of the world that's coming when the Antichrist comes, to with this fake Messiah who will try to deceive people in thinking that he's the savior of the world. And we have been looking at these events, and the fifth event that I had mentioned in the past is called the Conscious Business Expo. And that is something that we are going to look into detail, but I've taken a little side route, as I do from time to time. If you listen to me very often, you will know that. But the Conscious Business World Summit, bringing real transformation to business, okay? This is the fifth current event, and it's a New Age event that took place some time ago this year. And I wanted to, but I had noticed that Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, the Southern Baptist astronaut Edgar Mitchell, turned New Ager, who started the Institute of Noetic Sciences, was one of the organizations that I found out through my contacts that was helping to promote this Conscious Business World Summit, this New Age event. And so I wanted to look into Edgar Mitchell's experience, having heard him personally at a UFO convention in Nevada some years ago, and being aware of his interest in New Age type things. I wanted to take this little side route here and show you some of the things that he wrote about, or read to you some of the things he wrote in his book, The Way of the Explorer. And that's what we've been doing the last couple of podcasts. I find it fascinating, yet very sad. And American hero, of course, who had decided to leave the faith in his quest for and leaving, you know, his childhood faith as a Southern Baptist, as a Christian. His mother was a strong Christian, and if you go back to some of my other podcasts, actually last podcast, or maybe it was the one before, I spoke of how his mother had been healed through a demonic, a Tibetan shaman that Edgar met at a conference where he was speaking. Anyway, that's, you can hear that in a previous podcast, but it's in his book, The Way of the Explorer, An Apollo Astronaut's Journey Through the Material and Mystical Worlds. And a fascinating book, yet very sad. And so we've been looking at that, and I have, I am now going to go to page 180 in this book. And this is information that is helpful if you want to if you want to see somebody's journey into the New Age and into deception. This is it. This is as good a book as you'll read that will take you there. And this book should be a learning lesson for those that stray. That here's a man that he's an American hero. He came from a Christian family, and he has gone far, far away from the truth to find really his own truth. It started off with a hypnotic regression from a New Ager, a leader named Dr. Gene Houston. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much more time in review. I want to move on now, and we look at this particular section of the book in page 180. He talks about remote viewing and out-of-body experiences. Most of you probably have heard of out-of-body experiences. You've probably heard of near-death experiences, of which are very similar to out-of-body experiences, when people come back from the other side, supposedly, and they have new spiritual truth that they've learned, and they learn that there's no death, of course, which is a lie from Genesis chapter 3 that Satan has infused into the human race from the time of Eve and Adam. But he talks about remote viewing, which, of course, is a topic that I've studied a lot at some of the UFO conferences and on my own. But that's another story. Let me just go ahead and jump right in here. Page 180 says the phenomenon of remote viewing, which anyone can accomplish with a little bit of training. Now, I want to say here that I don't think anyone can accomplish this with a bit of training. I think anyone could accomplish this with making themselves susceptible to deceiving spirits, passivity of mind, etc. Because what remote viewing, that makes it sound scientific or something. Remote viewing, another term for that might be psychic spying. And so much of what I've shared in these podcasts, especially as we've gone into Edgar's experience here, can be documented. We had remote viewers both in the CIA and in Army intelligence, and the reason, from what I gather, is to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, because Eastern Europeans and Russians were also dabbling in this form of the occult to try to weaponize this to use for spying, right? And so we had our own people doing this in the name of national security, etc. It's really a perilous world we live in. I thank God that if you know Christ, you know, this world is not your home. You're a pilgrim here. I believe in my country. I'm patriotic. I'm nationalist. I'm not a globalist. But, you know, the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And until Christ returns and tosses him, you know, into the lake of fire, or at least until he returns and set up the millennial, sets up the millennial reign on earth, you know, the enemy is ruling and reigning over the minds of people. Our three biggest enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world and the world system, that is. So anyway, I don't want to get all preachy here, but, you know, I guess I should, since this is a program about deception, spiritual deception. So maybe I am getting a little preachy, but the point is, we live in a world where we as Christians are in spiritual warfare. And the weapons of our warfare, you know, are to help us fight a spiritual enemy. You know, like I say, I'm a patriot. I believe in my, you know, I love my country, you know. But some people in our country may be involved in things that I wouldn't approve of or that God wouldn't approve of, you know. Others are. So you know what I'm saying? It's different people and different strokes for different folks, and people have free will. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off the topic a little here. This remote viewing, though, as I was describing it, is something that has been used, and of course, to those using it, it's for a good cause. It's to spy on our enemies. Okay, they're our enemies, so we need to. And believe me, I believe our country is. I believe in the freedoms we have here, and I'm thank God that I live in this country. But going that direction and going that route, when secular people do that, secular people in government, military, or whatever, they are going down the wrong path, just as Edgar Mitchell, the patriotic astronaut, did. So anyway, he speaks of the phenomenon of remote viewing, and he says anyone can accomplish it with a bit of training, allows the explanation that the mind of the individual is in resonance with the non-local object of attention. Resonance is established in a number of ways, by asking one's subconscious a question, by visualizing an associated object, or some such focusing device. Clearly, I'm going to stop there. Noticed visualizing. Okay, visualization, popular in many circles, but the Bible doesn't teach us visualization. It teaches us prayer. It teaches us to meditate on God's word. But visualization is an occult tool, actually. And you've created visualization as big in New Age circles and in occultism in general over the years before the New Age term was even coined. So remote viewing, psychic spying, not a good thing. But Edgar is speaking of it here. And then he goes on to speak. He says, I found it intriguing to work with a number of skilled people who have routinely experienced both remote viewing and the so-called out-of-body experience. Now, I got to tell you, and I hadn't meant to mention this. It just popped into my head. And so I wish I could remember the man's name. But there was an individual who spoke at one of the UFO conferences I attended. And he spoke of this place in Virginia where there was actually training for people that were doing remote viewing. And there was teaching. It's the Monroe Institute in Virginia, Robert Monroe, who's passed away. And he actually devised a means to induce out-of-body experiences. And I visited there, of course. You know, where haven't I been? That's a strange place, right? But I visited there. And anyway, so I'm not going to take a lot of time with that. But when he talks about he's worked with a number of skilled people routinely experience both reviewing and so-called out-of-body experience, I wouldn't doubt it if he's spoken to the family of Robert Monroe or even Robert Monroe back in the day, because there were people trained at the Monroe Institute, not all of the remote viewers, but some of them got training there, some of their training. So anyway, very, very fascinating, but very creepy as well, because out-of-body experiences, I believe, are a mystical state. You know, when a person gets into a passive state of mind, they are very vulnerable to the work of seducing spirits, okay, in that, whether it's hypnotism or whatever altered state it is, and they are very vulnerable to having a movie, so to speak. Dave Hunt described it as like a movie being played in their mind, and the reality is that the illusion becomes reality, and what they're experiencing in that altered state is as real to them as reality, even though it's not real, okay? It's in their mind, literally in their mind. So anyway, very interesting that he made that comment. And of course, the devil wants to convince people during out-of-body experiences that there is no death. Near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, oh no, we just reincarnate. You don't have to worry about receiving Christ so that you don't face an eternal death and a separation from God eternally. No, because there is no death, because I've proved it. You know, I went out and went all around the universe in an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience or whatever. Not to say that people want to die so they can have a near-death experience, you know what I mean? But the reality is you have to test everything. If a person has a near-death experience and they used to believe in Christ and the Bible and they come back and say, I don't believe that anymore, you know, because I've had an experience, I'd say you better test that experience, because the Bible says test all things. And for whatever reason, that person is being deceived if they come back with the conclusion that there is no death and that you don't need a Savior or a Messiah whose body was broken on a cross and his blood was spilt for you so that you don't face that eternal death. I am getting preachy, but that's okay, I think. In fact, I'm sure. Because people, of course, need to know the truth. We need to speak the truth in love to people. So he goes on to say on page 211, and this is towards the end of the book, he says, many predict that the end of the millennium will bring about an apocalypse in the vein of the second coming. Others believe it will initiate intervention by alien intelligence. And still others anticipate sage solutions by guardian angels and channeled entities. He says, through the years, I've come to the realization that the problems of post-industrial civilization are not only real, but they are severe and deepening. However, such problems are of our own making and can only be solved by human beings using their individual and collective creative resources in more constructive ways. And I couldn't disagree more. We are in big trouble if we're expecting that the human problems of our own making are going to be solved by us. We're in a fallen world of Adam and Eve's making when they chose to sin against God, and that was passed on to all of the human race. But now we need God. We've always needed God. We need God and to be the one to return, and he will set up his messianic kingdom. but and he has heaven in mind for us in eternity, those of us who are his children. But anyway, this is the mindset of a new age individual, is that we have to solve this problem. We have to recognize our own divinity, and we got to do all this stuff. Goes on to say, guardian angels, channeled wisdom, and divine revelation are traditional explanations for perception of the deep cultural resonances and collective consciousness that are available non-locally to any individual at any time. Of course, such information will be interpreted and assigned meaning according to the beliefs and biases of the precipitant, the person perceiving it. You know, the reality is God's given us his truth and his word, and he didn't make it difficult for us to understand how we can have a relationship with him and how we can have salvation. And so when people, as he says, assign meaning, interpret, you know, which I would say, in other words, could misinterpret, or assign meaning according to their beliefs, to the beliefs and the biases of that person, well, yes, people all the time misinterpret the Bible and, you know, go according to whatever beliefs that they may bring to the Bible. It happens all the time. That's how cults are formed. That's how the New Age movement has been formed. But what is unknown to a lot of those people is that they're being deceived by Satan, and that the deceiving spirits are planting that information through books and tapes, and or even through their own channeled entities or what have you. And so it's a dead end, of course, for those that follow this line of reasoning and this line of thinking. Now, and I believe this is the last page from his book that I'll comment on here. He says that without doubt. Okay, now this is talking about aliens and such. He says, now, by the way, Edgar Mitchell is not an astronaut that has claimed to have any contact while he was out there with an alien, with ET or anything. Gordon Cooper, I believe it was Gordon Cooper, who was also an astronaut, earlier an astronaut, I believe, with the Mercury missions. He does claim to have seen UFOs. And anyway, he's got quite a story. You might want to check that out. Check out Gordon Cooper's story. Not that I believe in aliens, because I don't. The only aliens that I believe in are demonic impersonators pretending to be aliens. But Gordon Cooper, of course, being an astronaut, that I guess could bring some clout, right? You know, well, he was an astronaut, and he believes in ET. But anyway, Edgar Mitchell never claimed to have any of these type of contacts. But this is what he says: and without doubt, we will meet other species along the way, if we haven't already, who, like ourselves, have begun to explore the cosmos. Will they be hostile to our kind? Probably not. Well, you know, demons are always hostile to us, but they come as an angel of light, as I often repeat the word of God. It's safe to say they will be intelligent creatures who already fully recognize that all life is connected, although it may have different form and appearance. And that is, of course, the New Age idea, that we're all part of the universe, that God is in everything and everyone, and that ET is actually probably more highly evolved than us, and that his science and his incredible spaceships that he's flying around in, you know, just shows how much more advanced he is. Like the movie ET, where he would do miracles, this little alien. You know, well, that would be explained, of course, by New Agers as, oh, these are just highly evolved creatures who've further, you know, they've recognized their own divine self, and that we all can get there ourselves. Jesus was just, you know, he just evolved. He was highly evolved spiritually. And his miracles were nothing more than what we could do, you know, as we attain our own divine, you know, self within us. Okay? Because none of the apostles who did miracles in that time in the early church, none of them were claimed to be Jesus or God, okay? They were children of God, adopted children of God. But whatever miracles they did, God allowed for that time those type of spiritual special miracles. And I do believe God can still do miracles, don't get me wrong. But the idea in the New Age is that Jesus, you know, we can do what Jesus did, you know, not because Jesus was a special and a member of the Trinity, the second person of the Godhead and God the Son, but because we all can be evolved just like Jesus or just like E.T. or whatever, and we can do all these great miracles. And it's just, you know, it's just science that's part of the warp and the woof of the universe, so to speak. When like I say, the aliens come in the spaceships, well, wow, it seems like magic when they just come in and out of the dimensions and do all this crazy stuff that defies all our laws of physics and everything else. Oh, no, it's just, you know, it's just the fact that they've realized their own divinity. And so it's just like a highly evolved form of science, you know, and we can all get there. But it's going to seem like magic to some primitive fundamentalist Christian or someone like that. Anyway, he goes on to say in the notes at the bottom, it says, I've had no personal encounters with UFOs, although I wish I had, so that I could speak from firsthand experience. I have, however, met with credible professionals within two governments who have testified to their own firsthand experiences with close encounters during their official duties. A wealth of classified information on the subject resides in military and intelligence files, which, in my opinion, should be released to the public. And, you know, there's more and more stuff going on, isn't there? Even with our government, which has, in the past, tend to poo-poo the idea of UFOs and ETs. It seems that there's more information coming out now of stories where there seems to be a belief in alien beings. Now, that's for another podcast. In fact, on down the road, I'll do a lot of work on UFOs. But anyway, that really finishes up Edgar Mitchell's book there. And sad story there. But very instructive spiritually for us to test all things and to avoid the deception that comes and that appeals, so appealing like it did to Eve in the garden when the serpent came and said, you shall not surely die. You know, God's not telling you the truth. He knows that you're going to become like him. You're going to become like God. That's why he told you not to eat of the tree of good and evil knowledge, right? He's a liar, and he's still at work, and he's at work, and he's a destroyer. But thank God, Jesus has already defeated him, and it's just a matter of time. And I'm thankful for that. Believe me, I would appreciate your prayers for my own ministry as I seek to open up people's eyes to the truth and to try to reveal the great deception and deceptions that are taking place in these last days. Now, I have quite a bit of time left, so I'm going to get my foot in the door concerning the second event, the Conscious Business World Summit that I spoke about. And excuse me while I need to grab my notes here. All right. So this is, as I say, what I consider, you know, the fifth event, a current event, at least to my recognition, that I see taking place. Forgive me. I'm going to read one more article. I think that's where I want to go now with the time that I have. This is sort of like this just in. I just found this just yesterday or today. So since we're going to be looking at this Conscious Business World Summit, let me read this to you from the Daily Mail, an English newspaper. The title itself is, takes a while to read, of the article, How Going Cashless Allows Big Brother to Spy on Our Every Move. As thousands of Swedes get payment chips implanted in their hands, a backlash is growing amid fears of data abuse. And this is from Ian Russell, and July 13th, 2019. So this is real current. It says, Gustav can remember the precise date when he last used cash. It was October 7th last year, he told me without hesitancy. Like many others at his university in Gothenburg, Sweden, Gustav relies on cards and smartphones to spend money. None of us use cash. You just don't need these days, he said. But there is one problem, a big one. The 20-year-old computer science student keeps losing his bank cards along with others that swipe open electronic locks for his apartment, gym, and lecture halls. I laugh about it, but it is very inconvenient. So he plans to get a tiny microchip, scarcely bigger than a grain of rice, injected into his hand, which he says will make life easier as well as being cool and futuristic, following the lead of at least 4,000 other Swedes as their country hurtles into a brave new world without hard cash. They have chips inserted under their skin, usually above the thumb, to pay for their coffees and bus and train travel, waving a hand across payment machines as if using a contactless card. This blending of human beings with technology sounds like science fiction, yet it comes as this Nordic nation, the first in Europe to issue banknotes more than 350 years ago, leads the global march into a cashless society. Britain is close behind, coming third in a recent analysis of cashless economies, with barely a third of retail transactions still made in notes and coins. It's a headlong rush that has alarmed many in the UK. If we don't take action now in this country, we're only a couple years away from Sweden. Notes and coins represent just 1% of the Swedish economy, compared with an average of 10% across the rest of the continent, as cafes, shops, and even banks stop taking cash. Barely 1 in 10 Swedes used cash last year for purchases, according to a survey, down from 4 in 10 in 2010, while the total value of banknotes and coins in circulation over the same period has almost halved. The case for going cashless is based on convenience and cutting crime. Furniture giant IKEA is also following the trend, announcing last month that one of its stores would be the first to abandon cash. Okay. And moving on in the article, at least 900 of Sweden's 1,600 bank branches no longer handle cash, and critics say their bosses push the shift to make bigger profits, while ministers are seeing higher tax receipts as the black economy gets squeezed. This bank profiteering was highlighted by Roger Elbling. He says, it's great for the banks because they do less work and make more money, he said. When banks in other countries see how much ours are making, trust me, they will all do the same. Although Swedes trust business and politicians more than in most Western nations, assisting this rapid shift from cash, such privacy concerns have been intensified by a series of recent outages involving data abuse and failures by technology giants. I'm running close to the end now. I'm going to see if I can get through this. The Facebook scandal last year over Cambridge and Analytica highlighted how such data can be harvested and sold on to advertisers. Some experts have deep concerns. Small payments may not matter, but when you put them all together, you build a big picture. This changes society fundamentally. If I cannot give my friend 500 kroner without the state knowing that, then we are handing over too much control. He also worries about parents. Okay, I'm going to skip that. The fiercest critic is Bjorn Eriksson, who is a former national police commissioner, customs chief, and head of Interpol, the global crime-fighting body, might have been expected to embrace the shift towards traceable cash transfers. Okay, I am out of time. I'm going to end it there. And then we will look at this fifth event next week. But before we move into the Conscious Business World Summit, I wanted to mention this article, which really would go under One World Government and One World Economy, but I thought I would put it there. So God bless you all. I hope you join me next week. Good night.